from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan, 877-881-1053, Franklin, Franklin Injury Attorneys text line. You can also hit us up on the YouTube, on the Twitch. It is a shout-out Friday, 877-881-1053. You want to get involved in that conversation. You got me, Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors, famous Mike Bassick, and Reginald Adetula.
I'm starting off the show by giving Corey Majors a big thank you. I am famous, not only for Brian Adams and Kenyon Martin.
Right, yeah.
But for the croissant donut. He brought it in.
Has this changed your world?
I think it's better than a regular donut.
Yeah,
they're my favorite.
It's a glazed donut, but it's croissant and flaky, and it is amazing. For some reason, I thought it was going to be a croissant with just donut glaze, like sugar glaze over it. But it's not. It's shaped like a donut. It's puffed up.
No hole punched out of the middle.
Flaky,
though.
Buttery. I feel like donuts are in trouble.
You know, the cronut is actually, it's been around for a while.
I don't know. I've never seen
donut's
it.
Donut's in trouble, Kevin.
I've never seen it since this Friday, since today.
Big donut's really taking it on the chin this week.
June 28th, cronut has now overtaken donut.
Okay.
The croissant.
The invention is real.
The croissant itself, like, is buttery. You know, it's buttery and light and soft, so it's fluffy on purpose. But then, because Kevin,
as opposed to being fluffy on accident?
Well, yeah. The flakiness collects more glaze. So there's more glaze on it. So it's, yeah, man, it's a really good one. And by the way, there is one for Carter Freeman in there. I wanted to give a shout out to Carter Freeman.
Oh, here. That wasn't just the second one for me?
No. Okay. That was for Carter Freeman, too. Dear. I want to make sure the guys are... Reggie, did you eat the other one and Carter doesn't have one left?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Okay, we'll see how it goes. But I do want to give Carter Freeman a shout out for putting up with me this week, because him and my son are both named Carter in my phone. And Carter recently, my son Carter got a phone. And so I've accidentally called Carter Freeman and texted and started to text Carter Freeman multiple times this week. So I want to give a shout out to him for putting up with my crap this week. So thanks a lot, Carter Freeman.
Very nice.
There you go.
Do you want to give a shout out to the Dallas Mavericks as well for Reggie? I know it's been a big day, what with Big Donut falling and everything like that, and it being a shout out Friday. Both equal reasons to really pay attention today. But the Mavericks make a trade for Quentin Grimes, and they trade Tim Hardaway Jr. and 3 second-round picks to facilitate this. I'm going to be honest. I did not think that the Mavericks had 3 second-round picks left. So good for them for, yes, indeed, having those picks or figuring out a way for Oklahoma City to trade them more picks to facilitate this like they did a few months ago.
Are we completely out of picks now? Is that did we empty the pick vault?
It's got to be for second rounds until like 2031, right?
Okay, all right.
But here's the thing. And we could talk about this any way y'all want, but if people are just curious, we did a deep dive on Quentin Grimes 2 days ago, I want to say, but we can revisit that a little bit. This trade is essentially, and correct me if you guys think I'm off base about this, Tim Hardaway Jr. and 3 second-round picks for Quentin Grimes and the ability to keep Derek Jones Jr. Because
yes.
I think that's what this trade actually is.
They wanted to ensure that they kept Derek Jones Jr. around. Like that was what Nico said, number one and number 1B.
Yep.
Like those were the two most important things on his offseason schedule, was keeping this group, the core group, the five of them, and obviously I think Gafford too, together and ready to rock. And obviously the other part was they wanted to get out from under Tim Hardaway's contract because honestly they didn't want to play him anymore.
Yeah.
Like they were like, we're done playing the guy anyway. He's just going to be a wasted use of money, so let's figure something else out here. And Grimes gives you an option body off of the bench, and so you get to rock with that. And then this gets you Derek Jones Jr. And Kevin, I am curious now, if you want to go even further, do you have more options here?
Well, I think you kind of need to. Can I, well, actually, real quick? Well,
yeah.
Well, actually. In order for the Mavericks to get the full non-taxpayer mid-level exception, which is
$12.9 million.
Yes. They would have had to take back less than or $4 million and $200,000 and just a little bit and change. $4.23 million or less in order to have all access to that. The salary that they're taking back in this trade is $4.29 million. And so there's like $60,000 that they're still going to have to account for in the salary cap of getting rid of on their salary cap. However, that's significantly closer than they were prior. And so that will give them to the opportunity to give the mid-level exception or utilize the mid-level exception to bring back Derek Jones Jr.
You know who hurts this? Who hurts us on this? That few hundred thousand dollars, the signing of JaVale McGee, because we had to stretch him out. So
we paid him
$2.3 million last year. We pay him $2.3 million next year. We pay him $2.3 million the year after that, and $2.3 million the year after that because of how pathetic he was. And you had to do it.
Sure.
To kind of get Grant Williams last year and do what you needed to do. But as Reggie just pointed out, if the Mavericks are, let's say, $150,000 or $1 million short.
Like $60,000.
Yeah, they're $60,000 short. You can look at JaVale McGee, who I'm being very nice to, saying his name the correct way, for kind of hurting the team by signing a contract that he never intended to play hard for.
And otherwise, it would have been the $5.2 million taxpayer mid-level that you would have had with Hardaway on the books. And look, I know Derek Jones wants to be here. He doesn't want to be here that bad. Like, if he could get a $10 to $12 million deal and the Mavericks are like, we can give you $5.2, that's not going to work. And so this does give you the opportunity to use part of that non-taxpayer mid-level exception. Obviously, some work to do if you want to get the whole thing. But I think it should be able to give you the ability to keep Derek Jones Jr., which obviously we love him defensively and in the corner threes. And then Quentin Grimes, he can be a good defender, and he is excellent at breaking through screens. And we've talked about it in the modern NBA.
He looks like a bit of a pest on the perimeter defense.
And he's young.
That's something that they wanted to make sure that they, filled up a little bit more. Like you said, he's young to go on top of that. So, man, I think many, many promising moves by the Mavericks since the trade deadline. Like, everything has just turned up roses for them since then. Obviously, you're like pie in the sky thoughts on what else you can add to this thing. You're like, oh my gosh, it might not happen, but you're for the most part keeping a really good solid part of this group together. And you've added by subtracting and then added by also adding. Look at that. All the math.
Ooh, that's a lot of math talk right there. Now, I had another question for you guys. Obviously things happened this morning and that might start to change things already, but Mark Stein, who, shout out to him. If you want to go check out him at the Stein Line or check out his Substack, he is the one who first brought up, the first person I saw bring up Quentin Grimes and why we started talking about him a couple days ago. He has now talked about Kentavious Caldwell-Pope as being another person who is of interest to the Mavericks. Now the Nuggets also have a lot of moving parts, and clearly you saw yesterday during the draft, they moved off of Jackson to get some more money. So that's another one. Have you guys investigated this at all? Does that do anything for you, or are you like, now, hey, let's just focus all things Derek Jones Jr. and then we'll figure out the rest after?
I think figure out the rest after, because okay. I feel like this is going to be our team. I feel like adding okay. Quentin Grimes, I think the kid from France, you're going to keep over in France yes. and hope he develops.
Melvin Ajinsa.
Yeah.
And
Alexi's cousin.
Yes.
And I just think that this is a team you want to bring back. It got together in mid-February.
Yeah.
You put this team together in mid-February, and it made it through the Western Conference and to the NBA Finals. I'm not saying it automatically wins the championship sure. next year, automatically makes it back to the finals next year. But there is growth with this team now that you can get better. You can say, gosh, if we have a training camp, which probably Luka won't even participate in because he's doing Olympic stuff, but... Like
if you did hammer that home again, yeah.
Yeah, so it's just like, I think you're going to have to deal with next year. To be honest, it's for another time, but I think you're going to have to deal with Luka missing 20 games next year because of playing in this Olympic thing and not recovering. I think that you get a training camp with these guys together, PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford. They know their roles now, but they can really practice on their roles in the offseason. I don't know this. How many corner three-pointers was P.J. Washington shooting last offseason to get ready for the Charlotte Hornets offense?
I don't know.
Probably not as many. I'm just going to assume now he's going to be like, I really need to concentrate on getting the ball in the corner, making a quick decision or a quick shot, because a lot of my opportunities are going to come out of the corner. And so he can practice a lot of these things to get as good as human, as good as God intended him to be in that position.
And also, it's worth noting that I'm pretty sure on the Take That With You podcast, Brian Damaris was saying that they might rework his jump shot, P.J. Washington, as well to help make it more mechanically sound for shooting as well. So, I mean, all of these things happen, as Mike is pointing to, like in the offseason, being able to do that work. So, yeah, no, there might be progress in that way as well.
Now, I think we need to just go ahead and throw this out there because people ask questions like this all the time. The other day I brought up Tobias Harris as somebody that the Mavericks are interested in and clearly might be available out there. And then somebody asked about Klay Thompson from the 469. The issue that you're going to run into with all of these, even with this move, is first of all, you traded away one of the players that has a bigger salary to help facilitate certain trades, but you just don't have any money. So you're not going to go out and outside of Derek Jones Jr. and sign anybody of any real monetary value. The only way any of this would work is in a sign and trade. And then like, what are your sign and trade offers going to look like in any of these deals?
But you want to go into the luxury tax. You can certainly do that. I mean, you can go into, right? Can you do that in these sign and trade deals?
It gets very difficult because you have to get below a number to get Derek Jones Jr. If you want to do what you're doing, then you have to let Derek Jones Jr. go today and say, we're not, that trade had nothing to do with you. Ooh. But then that would be stupid because you just lost all of that money.
Yeah.
You just talked about to make a trade for Tobias Harris, you kind of needed Tim Hardaway Jr.'s contract to get to the 30. He makes $39 million. You said that the other day. But you'd have to get to like $35 million. At this point, the only way to do it is trading Kyrie Irving.
Okay. Yeah.
So that would be the only way at this point, losing Tim Hardaway Jr. to get to that number. You would have to, in a way, include Kyrie Irving or Luka.
A Clay like is kind of the same kind of deal there too.
He's a
like
free agent.
Yeah, like, he's just not going to sign here.
You'd have to make a sign and trade happen there.
Yeah, and
gets difficult with where the luxury tax is and where Golden State is. Like Golden State has been so high, they can't
trying to take your money back.
They can't do anything.
Okay. And so I do think Mike is on to something. I'm not going to dismiss any interesting names that come up. And that's why I think KCP is probably more interesting than the other two because maybe more achievable. But I think Mike is probably right. Assuming you re-sign Derek Jones with this trade for Quentin Grimes, I think this is mostly the roster. There might be still some churning to go, but I think this is mostly going to be the roster you get. I don't know what that look is.
Kevin from the 214, but that casino money can cover taxes, right?
Well, I think
if they get a casino here in Texas.
So, I know what you're doing, Corey, which is fun, but I will say the NBA situation is so confusing.
It really
I love it 10 times more than a lot of other sports, but you doing that, and I love you, but it's so confusing to me. You're really going to confuse the audience who's casual and thinking the Mavs can spend $300 million if they want to.
Yeah,
and they can't.
Right. There's
zillions
of rules that are ununderstandable to the common fan. And I'm more than I'm going to be honest. I'm whatever ego here. I'm better than common fan.
What?
But it gets really confusing on all the new rules they've recently put in that I'm not sure what Golden State can and can't do, because there's been new rules put in against teams that are way above the cap that I don't even know if they can sign and trade Klay Thompson.
And you're saying we can't just build a casino here for the aid
you cannot supplement the salary cap via outside
money.
So
we don't
like
need
that.
To vote for casinos, is what you're saying.
Unless that's just really what you want, unrelated to basketball. Now, this is the best text we've probably gotten all segment, Reggie. From the 702, the Celtics will run it back again. The maps have no chance. Now, I would tend to agree
that
a whole bunch of maps, perhaps an atlas, would have no shot against the Celtics.
I will tell you this. I understand where you're coming from. Denver was the best team by far at the end of the 2023 NBA Finals. And they were like, we're good.
Yeah.
Repeating is tough.
Oh, I agree.
We don't want to go through that grind again. And I don't. We'll see. We will see if Boston wants to go through
that. I was just making fun of that text, man.
Well, yeah, and I also think you're wrong there, Kevin, because the Mavs have a lot of legends, you know? So, like, it really could be good for them against the Celtics.
It's impossible to say, like, the Celtics will go through any season, or any team will go through any season, like, injury or problem-free. If you ask me right now, do you think this Mavericks team would beat the Celtics? No!
Not today.
Exactly. Not today, but the Mavericks would definitely beat a bunch of maps.
Well,
I still don't think you're taking into account the legends.
You're right. I'm not.
They'd be key.
Are y'all Google Maps people, or are y'all Apple Maps? How do y'all rock your maps?
Google Maps.
Google Maps is always my favorite. I use the Apple phone, but I use Google Maps because it's more accurate.
Mm-hmm. So I use the sun.
Dude, I do not have
there
that.
There was a time.
I do not have that innate
there
sense
was
of,
a time.
Of direction, Mike.
It rises in the east and sets in the west.
I know,
all
but that
you
doesn't
know.
But that doesn't tell me the more specifics. Look, the number one thing I hate when I'm starting going somewhere and they're like, head east on this road. And I'm like, I'm not a compass. Just say turn right out of the parking lot. Sorry for that weird pause. Yeah, that
I'm with you. The other thing that confuses me is our highways have numbers and names. It's like, true. Take Woodall Rogers. I'm like, you son of a gun. Just tell me the number I'm supposed to be on. Is it 30, 35, or 75? Stop saying people's names.
The biggest panic I ever had in my life.
Tom Landry Highway.
Do people know what that actually is?
LBJ Highway.
Why'd you say it like that? I swear, back in the day, I printed out a MapQuest thing to get home, and it was like, take George W. Bush, I don't know, west or something. And then the entrance that I saw said north or south. I was like, oh, no. I didn't know if this was like a Hogwarts. I just have to believe it's right in the middle or whatever. But I'm still
you
here.
You didn't do that,
no,
though.
No, of course
that
not.
It would have been awesome if you did and you were like, I did end up at the right spot.
Yeah, and I got right home within 2 minutes. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Remember, it is a Shout Out Friday. Coming up next, we're going to switch things up just a little bit because we got Will Clark coming up. We're going to do baseball nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Yeah, it didn't go too good in Baltimore to start that one off. But
nope.
They play again today. Next.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And it's time for baseball nuggets with Mike Bassick.
Well, I know everybody, I won't say everybody, but it seems like a lot of people are interested in the presidential debate. Totally get it. So I don't know if you tuned in for the Ranger game or not. It started very early. It was a weird start. 6:30.
Poorly.
Yeah. Well, they only scored 3 in the first and 3 in the third.
That's a great point.
So, I mean, they only
Mike.
Had 6.
That's a great point.
They missed the extra point. Or maybe they went for 2 and didn't get it. I don't know. But, yes, it started off bad. And going into the series, I can't remember if I said this on the air or not, but I'll say it now. Baltimore wants to kill us.
Yeah.
They thought for sure they were getting a broken Rangers team.
Yeah.
in the divisional series, and we won three straight. And I'm sure they were shocked because they got the bye, so they're not having to do the, hey, you got to win a three-game series to get to this five-game series. And they're waiting around, and they're thinking, all right, we can't wait for the playoffs. And 4 days later, they're out of the playoffs. So they were probably in shock by the time they got on the plane in Texas to go back to Baltimore as their season had ended three games into the playoffs. And they are playing great overall this year. I get they had lost five in a row, I believe, and then they won the last game against Cleveland before this game. But when they saw those Texas Rangers uniforms in Baltimore, I knew, it didn't mean they're going to win, but I knew how bad they want to show the Rangers, you're not close to us, and we want to do everything possible to let you know there's no way you're going to do that to us again.
And because of that, because of how well they're playing, it definitely feels like a sweep, unfortunately, is a possibility.
It's very tough to sweep a four-game series. But yes, the way the Rangers are playing and the way the Orioles have played for 80 games, they're 50-30. Yeah, you're in big trouble here. They are a better team. You're not. It doesn't mean you can't win today, but you have to, in this one day, play better than them. But I don't think Baltimore's going to relax.
Yeah.
And a little bit of the issue is other teams aren't going to relax either. They get to beat the world champs. And I've brought this story up before. I'll bring it up again. Deal with it. Is I can remember in 2003 pitching for the New York Mets, and we went to Anaheim to play the Angels. And I won that game. I had a horrible 2003 overall for my season. But I can remember I beat the world champs. The Angels weren't that good that year. I think they were an average team in baseball. They weren't having the year like the Rangers were having, but they weren't a team that looked like they were going to repeat as champs. They were a one-off.
Yeah.
That LA Angels team that beat the San Francisco Giants in 2002, I believe, I think if I have my years right, was a one-off. And so I was able to beat the world champs. And that meant a lot to me. So if it meant a lot to me back in the day, and it wasn't the Yankees,
sure,
it meant a lot to me on the mound that I'm fighting for my life to stay in the major leagues, that I beat them. How do you think it's feeling for around Major League Baseball when the Milwaukee Brewers sweep them?
Yeah.
And then the Orioles, who lost to them in the playoffs, are going to get to play them for four games at home. And then whoever takes them on next, and some random dude's pitching like a Mike Bassick of 2024 is like, I have the ability and the chance to beat Marcus Semien, Corey Seager, all of these guys. They're all in the lineup. Here's the deal. Our lineup hasn't changed very much. So when you're facing this team, you're facing a world championship lineup. The only person out of it, for the most part, is Josh Young. Literally the only person out of it. So you're getting to beat the lineup that won the championship last year. And that means a lot to a pitcher, especially a young pitcher fighting for their life. And so you're just not going to get teams going, oh, gosh, that's the Rangers. They're not very good this year. Nope, they're the defending world champs. You're going to take a lot of their best shots. And the Rangers right now are struggling to match the energy of the other teams in Major League Baseball when they play each other.
Lick their wounds.
This feels like a huge series in terms of if you do get swept, then that doesn't have to, but maybe it locks you in as sellers.
I think yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, I think it pushes you towards that, but there's still enough time before the All-Star break and after the All-Star break to change Chris Young's mind.
Yeah.
But yeah, you start getting to the point. We just mentioned it. The Rangers have the seventh worst record in baseball.
Yeah.
And you just start going, well, I mean, are we that bad? Probably not. But if we keep playing this way, we can't keep saying probably not. I was wondering about this, and I hope it doesn't come to this, but I wonder if they do get past the trade deadline and the Rangers are out of a playoff race. I wonder, sometimes I've been on teams and I've seen players, when the pressure is off, you can't make the playoffs anymore. This season is over. It doesn't matter. As a team, we can't do anything anymore. Sometimes it will relax guys and they'll start playing better because there's zero pressure now. You have your contract. Your team's not in a race. And so it's almost like, I don't have to defend a title anymore. I don't have to defend a division anymore. I can just play baseball. And I don't know what the right thing is to say to this team. Not that I have the podium to say anything to the team, but they at times they don't look like they're having fun playing baseball. But I will tell anybody, there's no way to have fun striking out and walking back to the dugout. There's no way to ground out to third base three times in one game and have fun playing baseball. There's no way to give up six runs in three innings and have fun pitching a baseball. It's not fun to lose. It's not fun to be unsuccessful. It's not fun to fail. No matter how fun that sport is, it's not fun.
Yeah.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan on a shout-out Friday from the 817. Shout-out to me. I'm heading to Montreal to stay with my fiance for a year and a half while she finishes up her PhD. I'll be toloing every day, and she'll learn to love it.
Kevin from the 817, can we please get a shout-out for my son Jordy for completing his kindergarten boot camp? We were at Buffalo Wild Wings yesterday. Y'all were awesome. He hid under the table from me.
Oh.
He was very shy.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
But we do say, hey, what's up? What's up, Jordy?
Coming.
Are we going to call him Shorty?
I almost said Shorty. Yeah.
Coming up next.
Shoddy.
We think we're going to talk with former Ranger, All-Star, MVP, and truth teller of all things baseball, Will Clark. If not, don't worry. I have other content in mind, too. Next, right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For Trent.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to be honest. We're supposed to have Will Clark right here.
It's go not get Rangers.
Yeah, go get Rangers.
We tried to go get Ranger.
Yes, and it's looking less and less likely that that will be the case. But we have other stuff for you, including some interesting notes about Quentin Grimes and the story from the second round of the draft that you need to know about. But it is also a shout-out Friday from the 214. Hey, guys, my son just finished his fourth Dallas Cowboys youth football camp. And after the camp, we were able to get Christy Scales to sign his football. And I wanted to give her a big shout-out. She is one of the nicest human beings in the world. I know I say that about Chris Arnold, and it's true. Christy Scales is super nice, too.
She's amazing.
That is awesome. I have a question. Were the coaches burnt out after practice? Or was it
probably.
Just...
Probably. You know what, Mike? I bet they
just
were.
Just the players.
I don't know. I'll look into that. And then, Corey, you're going to like this from the 817. Self-serving, but shout out to me. That's totally fine.
Yep.
I booked an appointment with the talking doctor, which is probably something I've needed for 10 plus years, hoping I can turn this thing around.
That's good. I don't know how I could not communicate with somebody who didn't talk as a doctor.
You just have to write everything to
you. Yeah, I guess so.
I will say,
I don't know sign language.
Yeah, or type more. It. You could type things.
My wife taught me more. Mm-hmm.
What about if you had like a telepath doctor? That'd be pretty cool.
This is thank you. And no, I actually know a lot of signs because we do signs with Noah. Oh, that is a, that's
Can
a,
I, do that on
I think that is a dirty sign.
Why don't,
right there.
Why don't we teach kids from, let's say, age 2 to 5 as they're learning to talk? Why don't we teach them sign language too?
We did.
That's what we've done with
but
Noah.
But I mean, like,
I don't know. That's a good question.
Super sign language.
Yeah. I learned it at like church camp. That's how I learned like the alphabet and stuff like that.
But, like VBS?
Yeah. Vacation Bible School. Exactly. Thank you.
Because it's VBS time of year. Shout out to all the VBS kids.
Singing Submerged. I just want to say, look it up. That song is good. It is. I was going to say something else, but I was like,
"Sing it to us just so we can see if we."
No, I could, but I choose
a couple lines
not to. I will say this: I appreciate it very much that so many people are open about mental health, and I also really it means a lot to me personally. Like probably more than you guys know that people use the term "talking doctor" sometimes.
Oh, I use it all the time now.
That means a lot to me because that goes back to when I was a kid, and it was a hard time in my life for sure. So I appreciate you guys. Now, basketball?
If you would like to.
All right. Hit me with some Quentin Grimes stuff, and then let's talk about the second round of the draft. And look, you know we're going to talk about Kyle Filipowski.
Go get Pistons.
Have you seen all the Filipowski stuff?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious? Okay.
It's
salacious. I know
you
got taken second in the second round.
We're going to get back to that in 1 second.
Okay.
Tell me about Quentin Grimes.
Real easy things. You guys probably already know this. I didn't know that he went to the Woodlands. All right. So he went to the Woodlands High
Houston
School.
Yeah, Houston kid.
Yeah, he was born in Houston, went to the Woodlands, then made his way back from Kansas to Houston to play at U of H. But, Kevin, I was looking at his Twitter, and I found two things that really stuck out to me. One, he tweeted out 20 hours ago, "Yes, chef." That means
he watches the Bear. Yes.
So when we get a chance to talk with Quentin Grimes, we know he's watching the Bear, and we can have discussions with him about that.
Who do you think is his favorite character?
I would love to know because there were times last year where characters like popped in, and I was like, okay, that's my new favorite. They're making it, and then they turn back into who they are. So I don't know. Lots of fun stuff there. We know he likes the Bear. Good.
Do you ever say "yes, chef" in your regular life?
Absolutely.
Now? Okay.
Yeah.
Me
and
too.
Carter is still doing chat, so like he's still talking to chat in the world. So that's
so you're
still,
just hitting him back with the "yes, chef."
Yeah. I'm like "yes, chef," and he's
or
like,
"you're
what's
just
that?
Like hands."
When
hands, please.
Hands.
Hands.
When we did our cooking class a couple months ago, that you guys made fun of me for getting all the food wrong. I did get to say "yes, chef" in an actual non-sarcastic venue, and it was delightful.
I like it. All right, other tweet that I saw, and this was maybe about a month ago, maybe less. In-N-Out ain't all that. So again,
good Texas boy.
Texas boy knows exactly what he's dealing with. I also did not know this that I learned: his brother or his maternal half brother plays for the Canucks. So he is a Canucks fan, which is weird because Canada doesn't win hockey championships, but
so we should be easy. It should be easy to convert him is what
yes,
you're saying.
Exactly. Okay, so, but yeah, his maternal half brother, Tyler Myers, is a professional ice hockey player, Kevin, for the Canucks. And there's a couple tweets of him like at a Canucks game and he's really happy to be there. I think they lived in Vancouver together.
Okay.
So
very, very cool.
Oh, they've never lived together. Due to Myers,
those are very different things than you just said.
Yeah.
Sorry about
man,
that.
Man, that took a hard turn right
They've
there.
They've never lived together, but they are maternal half brothers.
Okay. Thank you for that information. The second round of the draft yesterday. Now, you might be like, I don't care. I know that Bronny went to the Lakers, and we can talk about that if you want. I know that.
Is it Ajinsa? Alexi Ajinsa's cousin.
Yes. Melvin Ajinsa. But I want to talk about Kyle Filipowski, especially since you have not heard this story, Mike. Now, we talked a lot leading into the draft about why Kyle Filipowski seemed to be slipping on so many people's draft boards. One of the things we said, maybe it's questions about his mentality. Then we talked about the fact that he has a negative wingspan in terms of his wingspan.
Not positive, just needs more energy.
No. In terms of it is statistically shorter
bad vibes.
Than his height, which is very rare for players of that size. And so people were already concerned about his athleticism. And when you saw that, those could all be the case. But then he slipped out of the first round entirely. And the rumor mill started to grow. And I probably looked into this way more than I actually should have. There are allegations out there that the reason why Kyle Filipowski fell is because teams were nervous about his love life, specifically the woman he's engaged to, that she may or may not have been grooming him from a young age. Now, the story is a little different depending on who you listen to from there. Some people say that this was Filipowski's babysitter. I have not been able to find anything that confirms that. But here's what I do know. Her family weighed in on this on social media.
Her family or his family?
His family. Okay. I'm sorry. Thank you. His family weighed in on this on social media with a bunch of tweets. Daniel Filipowski said, "I'm Kyle's oldest brother. You don't have a clue of the extent of the story that has to do with his girlfriend." Because the story had come out as maybe some executives were spooked about the age gap and other whispers about his girlfriend. And he said, "There's a story that's been pushed under the table for nearly 2 years now." And then later on, his mom weighed in on it, Becky Filipowski, and said, "You're opening a 2-year issue, and she is 28, not 25, with an end game 3 years ago to have a diamond ring on her hand when Kyle left Duke. He was still in high school." This woman is 28 right now. Kyle Filipowski is 20. They have been together for about 3 years. She had graduated with her master's degree when she went to his high school prom. So,
and I think what makes this kind of feel a little insidious is that he supposedly now is estranged from his family.
Yeah, they said they haven't talked to him in almost 2 years. And part of the reason that makes this all crazier is because she's super, super into Mormonism. And that has alienated him from his family. And then he got drafted by the effing Utah Jazz.
What's special about that?
That is where I have seen it. I didn't go in.
It's like the home of Mormon.
Yes, I have been to, or I've seen the worldwide headquarters of the Mormon religion. It is bigger than the state capitol. It is amazing.
So it's no coincidence that he lands there.
Because she was actively working as an agent to make sure that the Utah Jazz. You were telling me that Danny Ainge set this up years ago.
No.
I see what you're laying down. No, I got you, Corey. No, appreciate you.
That seems like a lot.
That does feel like a lot.
Big Utah Jazz.
But we know how things work. But like it seems like if the rest of the NBA owners thought that this was a problem, it would make sense that Utah wouldn't, because of just kind of the. I mean. Just think about this when you're discussing Luka here in Dallas. Do you think that when Donnie called the Hawks front office and he's talking to him, he's like, "Look, you're Luka's not going to be a guy for you. In Dallas, he'll be beloved. In Atlanta, he's just not going to fit into what y'all are trying to accomplish." I'm always kind of curious if that's a tactic. Look, for market,
I don't know.
It makes sense. And for the Utah market, that makes sense. It just feels like the rest of the NBA looked at that and thought, that's a problem, and Utah didn't.
I just don't know. I wonder about that. I wonder if at some point the value of the player versus where it is in the draft is enough for you to overlook like any potential issues you think you might have off the court. It's just the fact that he went to Utah. I'm not saying that part is a nefarious plot. I think that part is just crazy. Like the coincidental nature of that is absolutely wild. So he ends up going to Utah, and now some people have been asking questions, and like, I know it could depend on like age of consent in your state and everything like that, but a 17-year-old and a 25-year-old just feels wrong, and if people get mad at me for that, I'm not sorry. I think that feels wrong. And then if she was grooming him to alienating him from his family, which is their accusation, I don't know
story. Supposedly it's been the last 2 years. Like, I mean, look, technically 18, you can make those decisions for yourself. There's plenty of people who are estranged from their families,
sure,
and probably for good reason, right? Ultimately, the way that I said this last night is I don't know what to do with this. It's all just really weird as a story, a very weird oddity on a night where it felt like the only other story was Bronny James getting selected by the Lakers. Yeah. Like, this was a really weird one that popped up.
It is so bizarre, and I feel bad for the people that are involved if this is true and this is happening. Like, I feel bad for his brother and mom if they feel like they can't talk to Kyle anymore. I feel bad for Kyle if he thinks his brother and mom did something really terrible to alienate him from the family. And I feel bad for Kyle Filipowski if he really did get groomed by this lady who's like, ooh, you're a top 10 prospect in the country. Like, I'm going to hook into you right now when you're young and make sure we stay together. Like, that's not okay either.
And that's one of those things that, like, is kind of discussed around professional athlete prep kind of players going into professional sports, is like the idea of the gold digger woman or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if this fits in there, but, like, I don't know that we're necessarily talking about it in those terms, but all of it, really odd.
I think about the movie, and I know it's just a movie, like, He Got Game. You're even talking about, like, this back in 98. Like, obviously, you have to be careful in a whole lot of social situations. It's just a weird situation. And now you wonder, will this affect his play at all? Or to your point, Corey, did he end up in the oddly perfect spot for all of this?
Yeah, the right scenario for him and his future.
I don't know, because now I don't know this story. I mean, I'm listening to you guys tell the story. She could manipulate him where he is just, he's not with the team. That he's just showing up to practice and the games, but the team never really feels like he's part of the team. I don't know. I get it now. I get why teams were very scared of what is his commitment going to be to our team, to our organization, to the city. This is weird.
I looked at, because it's popped up in some of the stories, they had his Instagram pictures of him from the prom, and he looks so young, especially compared to her. And his little caption there was, people will stare, make it worth their while. And unfortunately, I started scrolling through the comments, and people are like, yeah, people are staring, bro, because she's almost 30. And then somebody said, this is going to be a Law and Order episode. Oh, wow. And it's just all this stuff that, like, all surrounds what should theoretically be, like, one of the best days of
really happy
your
time.
Life.
Yeah, really happy time getting drafted, going to a team. I'll be honest, I was watching the video of Bronny getting drafted, and I just was like, is he happy that he got drafted?
Oh, the way that he was just sitting there?
He just kind of sat there, and everybody else was standing up around him. And again, like,
I think he didn't get
drafted number one overall. You got drafted really late, essentially because of your dad. That's the real reason that he got drafted at all.
100%.
Was he really even that happy in that moment? And that seems like you just said with him, it's supposed to be that moment where you're like, I can't believe this is a dream come true. And now
I wonder if he was getting scared because you were a few picks away from not getting drafted.
Maybe so.
There's something to go along with this. I'm going to go to cut number 7. And this was Bob Meyer saying, like, why that probably is exactly the way this played out.
Right now, Rich Paul's calling teams, don't take Bronny James. He's telling them, do not take him, okay? Saying, don't take him. If you take him, he's going to Australia. So he has a plan and he has a place.
And so supposedly, Wojnarowski was really quick to point out, maybe except if you're the Lakers or the Suns. And I know there are some people that were upset that this, I guess, like, theoretically worked out perfectly for the Lakers, but it's not like they stole him or anything. This is probably about, if he was going to be drafted, 55 is probably about where he would have been drafted.
Even it's Rob Pelinka, who's their general manager, correct?
I believe that is correct.
He started off his press conference by saying, the Lakers are a historic organization. A lot of history has happened through the Lakers, and now we get the historic father and son combination. Then he quickly made sure to say, look, LeBron still has a decision to make. We're really hoping that he comes back and chooses us, but won't this be a cool kind of historic thing that the Lakers are going to be a part of when a father and son for the first time in NBA basketball history play together? And they did it for that moment.
Yeah.
They didn't do it because Bronny James can play NBA basketball right now.
Not immediately. But, I mean, also, when we talk about late second-round picks, I don't know who you're looking at to immediately be a basketball. Like, they're all prospects.
My question, Reggie. Are you going to put him in a 35-33 game in the second quarter just because he's his son?
I mean, they might, and that's where it gets a little nefarious. Oh,
they definitely will.
Like, he absolutely is a dude who I would look at as, like, potential two-way G League-type player, but they've already, like, part of the Bob Myers kind of reporting there was that they were angling for no two-way, you know, contract, no, like, they want him to be on the roster, and that's where it gets a little nefarious for me because, like, that's when it's like, okay, we're going against the competitive nature of what you're supposed to be doing here. But I guess that's what happens when you have people that can broker power. And that's like the nepotism that happens all over sports. We saw it with Giannis when it comes to the actual players. But we've seen it in all sorts of other places in sports. It just feels weird, particularly because LeBron James, the Lakers, and like the visibility that's been given to this, especially with all of the talk leading up to this.
I'm fine with it. But I mean, obviously, we know why it's fine. Like Reggie said, it's fine. I'm fine with it. Nepotism happens in sports. Yep. Obviously, Woj went on a big rant about it, going like, yeah, we all know.
Which is a weird take what's happening here. It happens, so it's okay. I always think that's a bizarre explanation.
There's two choices here, I guess, for the Lakers, and I'm going to be interested to see how this plays out. Either you play a person who doesn't belong on an NBA basketball court in real minutes, so father and son can play together, and that's intentionally losing. That's intentionally losing a basketball game when you put somebody out there who you know can't play in the NBA. Yeah. That's what tanking teams do at times. Like, we know he can't play. Good. We want to lose.
Yeah.
That would be, in a weird way, to your new head coach who says it's all about championships, and then going, well, I'm going to intentionally lose here, and I'm going to play Bronny James 4 minutes here in the second quarter so he can play with his dad. Or, which, I don't know, is this more likely? LeBron has to play the trash minutes in the NBA. So Bronny's on the team. They're losing or winning by 20 plus points with 4 minutes to go. The game has been decided.
I guess I could see that.
And LeBron says, I'm fine. I'm in great shape.
Yeah.
I want to play the final 4 minutes of this non-competitive game so I can be on the court with my son.
And depending on where you look, he's anywhere between 150-1 and 300-1 for Rookie of the Year. So for Rookie of the Year. So if you're worried or wondering about that, there you go.
Can I throw this just real quick? Mike, how much fun do you think you would have had if your dad, if you could have played a game with him? Like, and y'all both could have been on the field together. Do you think that would have been a really fun day?
It would have been awesome, but I'm not opposed to Bronny or LeBron. I would have wanted known I made it on my own merit.
I got you. I got you there.
So that's the only tough thing.
So that you can really put your dad down.
You did it,
teammate. You need to be better today.
Well, I think a tough thing is it's fine. I want to say it's fine. Bronny knows he shouldn't be in the league.
Yes.
That's a tough part of it. He is in the league. He's going to become an NBA basketball player. There's very few people that ever accomplish that goal. What's tough is that he doesn't deserve it, but in a way he does deserve it because his dad can manipulate. His dad's been manipulating situations forever.
That's fair.
So it's fine. It's fine. Bronny's worked his butt off to become a D1 college basketball player, and then he has a father who's allowing him to play in the NBA.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, this is from the mind of Corey. We've been talking about doing this subject for, I don't know, quite some time.
7 or 8 months.
Have the Mavs earned the NBA's respect? Let's dive into it next right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.